What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
We finally got the show open, corrected, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Come on down to the Avon, the base of Avon Mountain, to Avon Old Farms here, the hotel. We're collecting for the Salvation Army, and this is the season, right? So there's a lot of folks out there with need. We'd love to say hi, see you. Any kind of donation is accepted. Toys, unwrapped toys, monetary donations, whatever you can do, come on down. And see if you can help out the folks at the Salvation Army, because they do a great job throughout the year helping everyone out. And it's our privilege to be here. It's the first time they let us out of the studio.
Whoa. Yeah. Woo.
Yeah, they're like, all right, let the geeks out. so here we are helping you guys out there. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll take your calls as usual, help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And, of course, as usual and customary, we have a little bit of news to talk to you about. So, you know, Interpol.
Yes.
Major international police force.
Yeah.
You know, very, very serious folks.
They do a lot of really, really tough investigation.
They really do. And they have a notice out for all of us to be aware of that we should pay attention
what
to.
What do we need to concern ourselves with?
Well, we have to stop saying pig butchering.
Really?
We do. You're hurting the victim's feelings.
Oh, because we're referring to them as pigs.
It is the case. And so Interpol wants us to stop using that term, pig butchering. If you're curious as to what pig butchering is, it's a major scam.
Yeah.
Basically, if you're into cryptocurrencies, yet another major scam.
Well, yes, all by itself, right from the start, a scam. Yeah.
So if you're fool enough to invest in something that doesn't have any monetary value or throw off any kind of value whatsoever, what happens with pig butchering is... The bad guys fatten you up like a pig is what the idea here is. It's an Asian term, and they try to convince you to buy all sorts of fake cryptocurrencies. Uh-huh. They're fake anyways. I guess Hoktua girl had a crypto that just happened. Like just in this month, a $200 million scam there, or something crazy going on there.
Oh.
So everybody's got a coin, guys. It's fake money, and now. Interpol wants you to not call it pig butchering because you might hurt the ding-dongs' feelings who are being scammed by it. And they recommend the term a romance baiting.
Okay. All right.
I would just, I don't know. I think we can come up with something better there, Interpol. But they're saying that if you call it pig butchering, it sends those folks who are victims, it says, they're not going to go ahead and just report the crime.
Well, that is a serious issue. If they're going to solve crimes, they got to have people report them.
They do.
And a lot of these are done by rings of people
right.
that target multiple victims.
Yes.
And the more victims they know about, the easier it is for them to track back the ring.
I would contend, though, Dennis, it might not be the term pig butchering that's the issue. It's that they actually have to tell somebody that they invested in cryptocurrency in the first place, and then they got ripped off to the tune of millions of dollars. I think that's probably more the reason they may not want to talk about it.
It's not like only that,
pretty embarrassing.
They were probably embarrassed that they were trying to come up with a romantic rendezvous with these people.
Right.
And that's a little shaming all by itself.
Yes. Yeah, so so stop calling it pig butchering. I mean, FBI calls it pig butchering here. I wonder if the FBI got it, the memo from Interpol.
Well, the Reg article that we're looking at says that Interpol has used it in the past.
Of course they have. Yes.
And they have the proof with the Internet Wayback Machine.
And according to our FBI, pig butchering is the most prevalent and damaging fraud scheme today.
Wow.
So
I would not have thought that.
Yeah. Not only buying crypto as being the one thing, but being scammed out of it is the biggest problem.
Whoa.
So, all right. We'll have to be nice this holiday season and call it a romance scam of some kind. What else you got there, Dennis? Anything?
Well, we have a problem with with probably one of the biggest router brands these days.
Biggest?
The biggest, yeah.
I didn't
biggest
know that.
Selling on, I didn't either.
Hmm.
TP-Link.
Yeah, lots of people have these.
Now, what the irony here is that this company actually makes some pretty good routers.
Yep.
And I've recommended them to people that I know, and right. I don't know if you have, but
Not really. I'm more of a Linksys guy, which is a Cisco company.
True, but some of the Tab employees have recommended them also,
sure.
And a couple of them even have them at home.
Yeah.
Now, what's happened is that there is a very, very crucial exploit that's now being exploited by the bad guys.
Right.
And the difference between that and other exploits that have been found in other brands is that this company is based in China.
Yes.
The PRC.
Right.
Not Taiwan.
Right.
China.
Inside.
So what's being discussed in the federal government is a ban on TP-Link devices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Discussed. Yeah,
it's being discussed.
It's like Huawei.
Oh, yeah. And Huawei, a lot of their stuff has been banned already.
Yes.
And there's another brand, I believe, that's been banned, too.
Yeah.
So it looks like TP-Link may get onto that list.
And that's fine.
Well,
they own 65% of the market.
I'm not brokenhearted about it, but here's the problem that I have.
Yes.
We've had serious exploits that have come out for Fortinet just within the past few weeks. There's been exploits for Asus routers about a year and a half ago, and a lot of those were even end of life, and Asus refuses to issue a fix.
Yeah.
There's other brands, Aruba, and I can't remember which other one, but there's a whole bunch of them that have these serious exploits.
Right, you said Fortinet, right?
Fortinet. That was the first one, because it's the most recent
most recent.
I can think of.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about banning any of those.
No.
And the federal government isn't issuing any orders or instructions to those companies to fix their routers.
No, there's CVEs out there, but yes.
They've released the CVE. Okay, so we know about it. Well, great. Wonderful. What do I do with my device?
Yeah.
Eh?
You chuck it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So if you're using a TP-Link in your small business, the Chinese are connected right to your company, and they're reading your QuickBooks.
Some models. Some model. Let's be clear. It's
not every model. But again, this comes down to what you're going to buy and what you're going to put in place, whether your technology be, they could be cams, they could be access points, they could be, you name it, this technology. You know, we were talking way back where, I guess, Supermicro had issues with little chips that they were finding on their motherboards that they didn't
They weren't designed in, and they technically weren't even supposed to be there.
And they didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
So this type of scam is not a scam, but this is a potential major issue.
It is.
So consider making a change to your TP-Link router if you have them.
Yeah, if you can update it, do so.
Right.
I believe the ones that they're willing to update are going to be getting an update.
All right. Anything else you want to bring up?
Well, I was thinking that we have a kind of a seasonal news article here.
Yep.
It's from the folks at Gizmodo.
Yeah.
The headline on this one is just precious.
Yes.
Merry Christmas. your new air fryer is spying on you.
Of course.
The phenomenon is that a lot of modern appliances now have accompanying mobile apps.
Right, right.
And those mobile apps are homing in on the manufacturer and providing them all kinds of information, like your location, your name, sometimes other information, like how you're cooking stuff.
Right. And we use the air fryer for everything.
What recipes are you downloading from the internet for the air fryer?
Oh, man.
They can technically figure out what you're eating.
Yikes. Yes, it's like my dehumidifier saying, "Welcome home, Eric. Well, how do you know that I'm home?" So these air fryers are doing this. Now, what's the brand again?
Well, it's pretty much everything. It's an industry-wide phenomenon. That's the point of the article.
Yeah.
And it's widespread, and it affects a lot of different kinds of appliances. I mean, the headline mentions air fryers, but it's everything.
Thank you. Yeah.
So you've got to be careful about stuff.
Yeah.
And this article even talks about people who use their appliances without that mobile app.
Right.
And they're fine with it.
Yeah, you don't need a mobile app.
You don't
air
necessarily
fryer.
Need it for what you're doing. Yeah.
No, my wife and I cook everything. We just had a donation dropped off. Cash.
Yes.
We'll take cash, checks, whatever you need. Come on, stop by to the Avon Old Farms Hotel down here, base of Avon Mountain. We're collecting for the holiday store, Salvation Army. Every little bit helps. It all adds up. So please stop on by if you can. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, broadcasting live. And we're looking forward to seeing you. If you can help out the Salvation Army, that'd be all the better for us.
Yes, and we're looking for $5,000 through the course of the
That's
show.
What we're told.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a
Can we
a
make 5,000?
That's a big goal.
That's a big goal. We'll come on, help, please.
Yeah. But the need is great. So
it is.
Come on down, help the Salvation Army, and help your community, because it all goes right back to the community. Mm-hmm. All right, Dennis, we're going to post all these live over on ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And that's the name of the show, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, we're broadcasting live.
We are.
The stream is working. And so you see us there as well. So everything will be taken care of for you. And Mike G is posting everything to Facebook as well as X. So you get these links. You don't have to remember them. We'll put them there for you. You can read these stories yourself. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. This is Computer Talk. Ben, hang on. We'll be right back. Let's get back to your calls. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We have three lines open for you. And we're going to go right to Ben on the cell phone first. What's going on there, Ben? You there?
Hi.
Hey. What can we do for you?
So, kind of a story about installing Ubuntu.
Very nice.
Yeah, recently I asked about creating a recovery drive. So I did that for Windows before installing Ubuntu.
Yeah.
And then I made the Ubuntu bootable disk, and I started installing it. While it was installing, I walked away and came back later to see if it had succeeded. Mm-hmm. And well, there was an error message about a failed installation.
Okay.
So I tried some different things, I deleted partitions, and I reset the UEFI setting, security settings to factory default, and I had changing the boot order to, and then finally, I changed the boot order, and I didn't have the USB drive with the bootable disk in the computer. Mm-hmm. And without that, it just booted into Ubuntu.
Uh-oh.
And it was working fine.
All right.
So, yeah, if you get an error at the end of installing, it doesn't necessarily mean it failed.
I see.
That is true. That is true, and I bumped into this issue myself some years ago when I was first working with Ubuntu.
Yeah,
and the main thing that I see is that you typically you have to turn off secure boot, which you did. Mm-hmm. I know you were in the BIOS settings and you got that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when it writes the new operating system and it detects that, sometimes it'll tell you that the installation was failed, even though all the files have been written. Mm-hmm. And the only thing you need to do with the computer is just enable what they call legacy boot, so that that boot partition will be picked up and executed. Right. So yeah, and that's you know, I love this because you're exploring and you're getting things done and you're figuring out that sometimes an error message isn't really an error message,
no.
Which is funny. But
yeah, welcome to our
it's
world.
True. Yeah. That's how it goes sometimes.
Have you tried the recovery?
No, I haven't needed to recover.
No, I know, but do you think it'll work?
I think it would. Yeah.
If it can boot to the Ubuntu partition, it can go to its recovery partition too. Oh yeah.
Hmm.
All right, Ben. Well, thanks for letting everyone know the wacky world of IT that we live in.
And Ubuntu is good stuff. I wish more people knew about it. For businesses, it's not the best tool because it doesn't run all the software that most businesses use. But for home users, it can be a great alternative to Windows.
So what are you going to run on it, Ben?
Yeah.
It's a good way to make old computers last longer. Found that out.
Exactly.
It is.
A while ago, because I had a Dell Inspiron from, I think, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2019, it started doing a beep code.
Okay.
So I got a new computer at that point.
Yes.
But then I came across Linux, and I was just interested in giving it a try.
Yep.
And so I installed Ubuntu on this Dell Inspiron that had been beeping. And it stopped beeping and worked fine with Ubuntu.
Oh, that's very interesting.
That's unusual.
Because the beeping happens at a hardware level.
Yeah.
What that's telling me is that something must have been wrong with the drive was causing it not to detect a bootable sector on the drive.
All right.
And once you reinstalled Ubuntu, you know, and got it running, then that problem went away.
Yeah, it seemed like, I think it was the CMOS battery.
That makes sense.
Oh,
did you change that out or no?
No, I didn't do anything with it.
You're going to want to do that. It's a really cheap fix.
Yeah, that problem doesn't go away.
That might be the cheapest thing you can fix on a computer.
Right, my key fob for my car is telling me my battery's low. It's been telling me for a couple months. Eventually, I'm going to have a problem. I got to change that battery.
So
it will be a problem for you.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks.
Yeah, all right, Ben.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us know.
Yeah.
All right, you too. Let me see if I can drop Ben here remotely. I could. So feel free to get online. We have four lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here at Avon Hotel.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here at the base of the Avon Mountain. And if you can't make it out, text. Yes, we always warn you about the lack of security with texting, but when you text WTIC to 31333, it brings you into a secure app.
Right.
And then you can go ahead and make a donation of any kind, secure donation, to the Salvation Army. It's as easy as whipping out your phone and texting. You know, it's easy to do. So while you're thinking about it right now, just text WTIC to the number 31333. Yes, you got to hit the little text icon and put that number in and then type WTIC and it brings you to the app. You put whatever you would like in to support the Salvation Army and what they're going to do in our community for the whole year, right? This is something that doesn't happen just during Christmas. They help people during the entire year. So the more you can give now, the longer it'll go.
Yep.
So keep that in mind. So we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll be right back. Stop by and say hello. Make a donation. It's going to help somebody. I promise you it will. And let's get back to your calls and see if we can help you guys the best we can here with your geek problems. We're going to go to Stefan in New Britain. Let's see if we can get you there, Stefan. Hey, Stefan. What's up?
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have a couple of quick questions.
All right.
Windows wants to do an update.
Yep.
Is it possible to select what is updated?
Yes, you can make selections on these
updates. Yeah, there is a way to do a granular selection.
What are you trying to not update?
Well, like all the stuff that, like Cortina, because I managed to get rid of it
so did Microsoft.
Yeah, that's good.
It's being phased out if it hasn't already.
Yeah.
All right, but the AI stuff, I want to get rid of because I really don't think, for me personally, AI is going to be very useful. And the reason being is I like to use my own creativity.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, keep it sharp, that kind of thing.
Sure.
I mean, there's a way to get rid of that AI, though, right?
Well, I mean, the Copilot piece usually comes in, I think that was in the pro flavor. I don't think you're going to find it in the consumer flavor.
That's correct.
Yeah, so you're probably fine there, too.
The other thing is there are certain features, AI features, that won't be available on your computer at all if you don't have what they call a neural processing CPU on it.
Right. Which is just a current. Well, it's just a big way to say a current CPU.
It's bigger word, yeah. And they're not all made by Intel,
right?
Some of them are made by Qualcomm and some other companies.
Because I have a Gen 12 Intel chip, I think.
You probably have the
HP Envy.
Yeah,
you might.
But it's not going to load any real AI for you on the home flavor of it. You're not getting Copilot, from what I understand. I mean, Microsoft's always trying to sneak it in. So you're still good. I think you're good.
Well, yeah. it may show up inside of Edge
if you're
as
using
a feature
the browser,
right. That's available inside Edge.
Right.
But I wouldn't go trying to remove that from Edge. You kind of want to leave it alone.
Right. Or not.
Because I don't
use
it. Just
use a different browser. Yeah.
Right. But they're all doing it.
Yeah, I do.
They're all doing
Gemini
it.
Gemini's going to be there in Google. Right.
Yeah.
Apple's got its Safari
stuff. I use DDG. I use DDG most of the time. Do they have AI in it? Because I haven't seen it yet.
We're both wondering what the heck you're using.
DBG?
No, DDG.
VDG.
DuckDuckGo.
Oh, DuckDuckGo.
Oh.
DDG.
Gotcha. DuckDuckGo may introduce their own AI, but I don't think they've done that yet.
Yeah.
Why?
They may, if they have any AI features, it's probably being sent from their website. It's not anything that's installed in the app on your computer.
Oh, okay, that's good. Just a quick second question. It was suggested, because this is the computer for music, that I update my RAM from 16 gig to 32 gig.
Okay.
Well, RAM is always better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I am not a computer repair technician, nor do I play one on TV. So I need to bring it somewhere.
No,
to
you
have
really
this
don't.
The
RAM
don't?
Is pretty easy
it's
to
simple.
Replace or add.
Yeah.
The thing that you need to do is to make sure that you have exactly the right type of RAM that you're adding to match what's already on board.
And so it should be listed, right?
Yeah, but you're not within the control panel or the settings app. You're not going to get the model number of the RAM chips.
Right.
But we can post a link to
maybe Crucial, right? Micron or Crucial. They can actually ask you for the model of your device, and then you can see whether or not it'd be compatible.
Yeah, but sometimes you get an ambiguous result even then.
All right.
The thing that I would do is I would run HW Info.
All right.
And I would look through that, and I would get an exact make and model for the RAM. You go online, you look up the specs for that, and then you just get something that matches. It doesn't necessarily have to be the same make and model, but the tech specs have to be the same.
And the other thing, too, to pay attention to is how many slots you have. So if you've got 16 gigs in there now, it might just be a one-slot environment.
And HW Info will tell you which slots are you have, which ones are occupied and what's in them, and which ones are empty.
And you want to consider replacing all the RAM. Don't try to match up another 16 gig stick that's been in there. I'd tell you just replace all the RAM with the new fresh RAM. It's not that expensive these days.
Like a 32. Just put in the full 32 gigs or whatever it will take.
Oh yeah, max it out.
Yeah. Mixing and matching
music,
it together.
Music
be more
samples and all this other stuff that I'm going to be using. Yeah. Needs a lot of RAM. I mean, they said, you can get by on 16 gigs, but it is advisable to go for at least double that.
Yeah.
So, all righty.
Do it.
Okay.
Oh, and one more thing. Mike G. pointed out you've got to ground yourself when you're changing out the RAM.
Yes, he's not wrong.
You can... Yeah, you've got
to... Ground myself?
Yeah.
So you want to take your socks off.
Yeah.
Get your feet on the ground. Don't be on a shag carpet.
Tie a wire around my ankle. Run it outside.
No,
I don't know if you need to be that elaborate.
No, no. And he's not wrong, but it's not. It's one of those things that if you're just doing one stick of RAM, to go through and get that grounding, it's a grounding like a cable you can get.
Right, and you would have to put it on your wrist and have it connected to the chassis.
He's technically not wrong, but the chances of you having a major issue, I'm going to say, are pretty slim to none. Unless you're doing it on a shag carpet,
No. It would be done on like a plastic desk thing for what the chair goes under your desk, thing.
Oh, an anti-static chair mat.
That'll work.
There you go.
Well, no, it's not an anti-static chair mat. It's like a plastic, it's a big piece of plastic, and it's so it goes over the rug so the desk chair can move.
And roll, yeah.
Yeah, and move and roll.
Yeah, you're probably fine.
That kind of thing.
A lot of them are anti-static, even if they don't say it.
Yeah. You're good.
And I have a lot of humidity in there, so. I mean, I have the appropriate level of humidity in there, so I try to keep static charge down.
Yep.
All righty.
All right.
So it's easy. This Envy is kind of thin.
It's easy. So, you're just going to find a little, on the back of it, there's like a little spot where you just unscrew it. Normally on the back. If it's under the keyboard, don't do it. Bring it to a professional. Yeah. But if it's on the back, it should
be. Yeah, if it's on the back and there's an access panel that you can unscrew, then you can do it. What I would do is I'd go to HP's website.
Yeah.
I would get what they call the service manual or the user manual.
Oh, yeah, I've got it. It's 100 pages long.
Well, that should... Yeah, that... somewhere in that is going to be instructions on how to.
Well, wait. So it's a long RTFM there, Stefan. So what you do is you have Karen and Bob read it to you.
Oh yeah.
Use the AI. They'll tell you where to change out.
Yeah,
your
the user guide, and I found it the other day because I was thinking about this. It's 100 pages long.
Right.
Yeah, it tells you how to replace pretty much every component in there.
Here's what you do, though. Go to Notebook LM, have Karen and Bob ingest it, and make sure you put a note in there about RAM replacement. And they'll tell you the summary as to how to replace your RAM in anywhere from 8 minutes to 25 minutes in a deep dive podcast approach. And you might be an AI convert after that.
Yeah, I just think AI destroys human creativity.
It could, but it could also help it. You never know. It might give you more of an idea. It might give you a more robust idea. It might give you an idea
like one of those. Oh, I never thought of it that way.
Right.
That kind of response.
Yeah.
Literally, yes.
Because someone else has done it before, and all AI is doing is stealing their work. So. You might be like,
yeah, the only use for AI that I thought was practical is this bill that they just passed in Congress.
Yeah.
Ramaswamy was thinking about, let's give the bill to AI.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And see what AI thinks needs to be done.
Well, AI can explain it at least.
Yeah, and it would cut all the pork and just give you what you need.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
See, that would have worked. That was my only useful thing for AI, and they couldn't claim that it was partisan because it's a machine deciding.
Well, you can't. There's programmers that program the machine.
Oh, so yeah, that's true.
That's part of the problem. So once the program can program itself, then you're good, but then we're all dead.
Yeah.
All right, Stefan.
Then you'll be hearing phrases like, I'll be back.
Exactly.
All right. And
the Austrian.
Okay, thank you, Dylan.
All right, thank you, Stefan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. So, you just never know. If the program's programming itself, you're in big trouble. But speaking of programming itself, you can program a way for you to give to Salvation Army through technology. You just text WTIC to 31333. I know it sounds complicated. It's like, oh, my gosh, how do I do that? You literally open up a text screen as if you're speaking to somebody new. It's going to ask you for the number, 31333. Text WTIC. And all of a sudden, an app shows up on your phone. Not an app, but an interface, as it were. An interstitial page, as Dennis would call it.
Yes, that's true.
And you would enter some information, and you would make a donation to the Salvation Army. You can make a one-time donation, or you can make a donation that you make monthly right through this app. It's a great way to give. It's a great. This is the season to do it. And if you ever need a reason, just look around. There's lots of need, and the Salvation Army does a great job supporting the folks in need in our community. So if you can, give whatever you can, and we do appreciate it. We're going to step out for a quick break. Nancy and Carol, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We're going to get on with Nancy, and we'll see what she's got cooking over there in Longmeadow. Morning, Nancy.
Hi.
Hello.
So my question is regarding Signal, what's up, and using an OTP.
All right.
So here's my background. I have a Google 4. And I'm on the network for Xfinity. Right. So I guess the government encouraged us, because the Chinese are hacking the SMS text messages. Therefore, you should switch over to Signal or WhatsApp. My question is, with the bank, I was, even when Signal, when they said, here's your password, I'm like, what the heck? It came through my, as a SMS. And I'm like, what's going on? I said, exactly how are you able to send it through the banks that are sending it? Well, I don't have a number because my understanding from either the Signal or WhatsApp, you have to have a telephone number and then the invite. And I said, how are you supposed to invite a bank to send an OTP?
It's up to the bank.
It's up to the bank. And
right.
Most banks.
So therefore, I have to invite. So therefore, I have to call the bank.
Well,
no.
They haven't chosen to use another alternative for two-factor authentication. They're using SMS.
They're using SMS.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And that's up to them.
Yeah, it is
a
problem.
It is a problem, and it's up to them to change it, though. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that you can do to redirect those things to something else.
So then I'm back to, possibly my SMS things for my codes being hacked from people because the bank can't figure out how to send something. I mean, I kept telling them, why don't you use an authenticator? They said, oh, we do because we send this message. OTP is not as an authenticator. I mean, and they're like, they're just like, oh, to us they are. And I said, well, to me, they're not.
Right. Well, they're FDIC insured, which means we insured them, so they don't care. It's part of the issue, I think. But yeah, I mean, this SMS issue is a major one. This is a major problem where we have been, quote unquote, our telcos have been infiltrated. They've read our texts. They've read our two-factor authentications. So you're not wrong to be concerned. And in trying to use Signal and WhatsApp, like if you get in the habit of doing that and you're texting your family with Signal back and forth, it's an encrypted message. But of course, you're just using it to send nonsense back and forth, right, with your family right. texts and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
But when it becomes that second factor is our issue. So we do want to encourage our financial institutions to use different methods. Now, even Authenticator can be dealt with.
I mean, yeah, they can be intercepted.
Well, because we just saw, we have a Google story where the guy was getting, because he had Authenticator, the actual information was also being sent via email, which means he was still impacted through a Google scenario. So there's lots of areas where we have to harden our security. And it's good that you're considering doing this, and you're not wrong about the second factor being silly when it's SMS, but it is what it is right now. Yeah. You can't make it.
Because I thought in my mind, maybe I just don't understand. I'm not that sophisticated to be able, and now I'm thinking maybe I'm not so idiot. I'm like an idiot.
No, you're fine.
It's up to them to send those codes in whatever way they want to do it.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah, so right now I'm kind of stuck, and I can call the bank yet again to say, like, hey, what will be the number so I'll be able to invite you from WhatsApp or Signal to be able to get the code.
The second factor, yeah.
Oh, God.
No, you're going to have to wait for them to start using more sophisticated 2FA.
That would be the year one, right when health freezes over, because that's about the same time that, you know, something will happen like that. But still, yeah, like you said, like they are insured by the FDIC, so what do they care?
Right. Anything with the federal in front of it means you and I are kind of doing it. I'm sure.
Yeah, and that means we have to pay.
But we back it up, right? So if there's a lot of fraud, we're still cutting checks, I'm sure.
Yes, it's so frustrating. As much as I spend all this time trying to back up everything and password everything, I even use that physical key through my, you know, stuff for the YubiKey.
Nice.
And still, still.
Good for
and
you.
Yet
it's
all
good.
This stuff that they do, let me tell you, I've switched over my bank accounts. This is one niggly bank account when it's why don't they send the OTP? So, but the whole thing is when you try to do something, the best that you can try to do, and therefore you're just like, you know, this chink is because the whole armor is because nothing is coordinated about trying to protect everything.
Good point. Some of these banks, I think, might offer you the ability to get your code via email. And if you're using encrypted email, that might be a way to deal with it, as long as you have a nice, strong.
So,
like
no, I use, I use the one that you recommend, Proton.
Yep. And that
so I would have to switch over to email each time.
Correct. You'd get your actual message by email, which if they offer that, that would be a way to securely get that code if they're offering.
Well,
that.
I think they might, you know, like it's like the only thing that like I have with my other credit union, they actually offer the three. They can say text, email, or the authenticator. I mean, at least they have something.
Credit unions are doing their best to stay ahead of the game. That's good.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm sure they want to have people feel confident, because rather than like Bank of America or something, like, you know, here you're a credit union, to be reliable about stuff and they aren't having people going in for hacking. Therefore, like, I think that's why they kind of might feel like that, and then therefore they protect all this stuff. But I mean, to me, when I was with the credit union, I said, thank goodness that you have this thing. At least I can use an authenticator.
Right. They're local and they have membership, and it's a whole different thing than some cold.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Nice. Thank you for telling me I'm not nuts.
No, you're not. You're not nuts at all. You may be crazy. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Nancy.
No, I'm not. I doubt that. I do not doubt that I'm crazy, but, you know, at least I'm crazy because I'm asking questions.
Exactly. We all are. Thank you, Nancy.
All right. Thank you. And happy New Year's and Merry Christmas.
You too. All right.
Thank you. Bye.
So, yeah, it's frustrating. Dennis has a story. about a serious crypto scam.
Actually, two of them.
Yeah.
Two people who were taken to the cleaners, all because they clicked on the wrong thing.
Right.
And responded in the wrong way. But they were tricked. And it was very clever tricking.
Yeah. And again, only because they had what? Cryptocurrency.
They had cryptocurrency. That's true.
It's almost like the bad guys realize, if you're going to invest in crypto, you're probably a little gullible.
Yeah. I mean, we can laugh about that, but the stories are actually kind of sad.
They are. The guy had $500,000. He was a first responder, I think.
Yes.
And he had $500,000 he put in crypto, and he was drained so fast, his head spun.
Right.
And he thought he was talking to Google. And it sure looked like he was.
Sure.
And do you have that story?
I do. I got that.
Just before we go to the top of the hour. We'll get to Carol after the top of the hour.
Yeah, there's a second story in there, too. These are just two examples that Brian Krebs uses to show how clever these guys are.
And Krebs does a great job.
And how easy it is to get hooked.
Right.
And the article has screenshots of what they saw.
And they all look like they're coming from Google, because they are.
Well, that's right.
Yes.
What happens essentially is that
they get a call.
The bad guys they get a phone call, but the bad guys are kind of reverse engineering how Google works and then just taking advantage of the methods.
Right.
And using that in order to kind of intercept.
But again, he received a phone call that said, or got some sort of notification that his account was being compromised.
Right.
And it was so believable. And then they just got in there and they were into his account. Before he knew it, his money was moved. Even was the Coinbase involved too? I think the exchange was involved as well, that they were in, they alerted him. But it was probably, some of that transaction didn't happen.
The exchange did pick up on some suspicious activity for some of what the
$100,000 transfer. They're like, wait a minute, I need to confirm
this. And they kind of stopped that and then contacted the guy, and that's how he knew that he had been taken.
But $500,000 left the building.
Right.
I don't think they recovered it either.
I don't think so either.
So that's the issue when you're playing in these crypto worlds. The bad guys, I mean, I don't know. I hate to tell you. They know you don't know what you're doing, right? They know that you've invested in something that's, again, greater fool theory.
Yeah.
You know, it's fake money. It's fake. It's nothing's real about it. So they're gonna go after you. You're a nice target, especially you got $500,000 invested. It was like 42 Bitcoin he had at the time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they can figure out who you are through the size of your wallet.
Yes.
Right. Imagine walking down the street of New York. And the muggers can actually pick you out based on the size of your wallet. Remember George? Remember George with his big wallet?
Yeah.
That's what's going on here. They can pick you out, and they're like, I'm going to go after that guy. And it's pig butchering again, but it's not even that case. They don't even have to fatten you up. You already have a big wallet.
Right. This was a form of that, but this was a lot faster.
So if you're going to invest any kind of real money into crypto, you need to be even more vigilant than you'd ever imagine, because these bad guys have nothing but time, and they're going to try to figure out how to trick you. And he took the call, and he went ahead and let them in, and before you know it, the money leaves. So we'll put the Brian Krebs story out there for those of you who are investing in crypto. Now, I know there's ETFs out there, right? So the ETFs are starting to allow folks to dabble in crypto without actually buying crypto, but you're still vulnerable to the ding-dongs who are buying the crypto.
Correct.
Right. Wasn't Moody saying that those mortgages were worth something back in 2008?
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, this is even worse. So we'll put this link up here. Brian does a great job describing this. So if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And everyone talks about the limited amount of Bitcoins that are out there. Well, the reason it's limited is the guy that created it, it's got all of them in his wallet, and we don't know who that guy is.
Right.
The moment we find that guy or open that wallet, your stuff's not going to be worth anything.
Correct.
Right? Are you not worried about that?
Well, I guess they're not. Because people are still buying crypto.
They're still buying crypto. So we'll put this link up for you. All right, so stick around, Carol. We have some more lines coming in. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're down here at Avon, at the base of Avon Mountain. collecting for the Salvation Army Holiday Store. It's the first time we've ever done it in 30 years. They let us out to be here. So come on down and make a donation, or make it via text, something to use technology. You can just text WTIC to 31333 and make a donation to support the Salvation Army and all the great work they do during the year. So we're going to step out for a quick break here. And everything's been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com by Dennis here and Mike over at Mike G's posting it on Facebook and X. So you can follow us there. We'll be right back.